Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
With some community conversation, first part of the morning show next hour, talking about Memorial Day festivities right ahead on WRCO. It is time now for a news update, and that is courtesy of the ABC Radio Network, sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, enhancing the relationships with those you love, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including video games, legendary pizza, and of course, bowling.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. The House Rules Committee is still meeting to discuss whether to move forward with the GOP tax plan. They convened more than 7 hours ago in the middle of the night. A fifth man is back in custody after 10 prisoners at a New Orleans jail slipped through a hole behind a toilet and escaped Friday. ABC's Jim Ryan has more on the latest person to be recaptured.
Corey Boyd was being held in the killing of a man during a car break-in last year. The five other escapees still on the run are likewise considered dangerous.
They're witnesses and victims, and all of those people are very rightfully very unnerved by all of this.
Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrell.
Time is of the essence, and we are doing everything within our power.
A jail maintenance worker has been arrested on charges of aiding in the escape. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The comedy world is remembering George Wendt, best known for playing Norm on the long-running sitcom Cheers. Wendt passed away at the age of 76. This is ABC News. More than 65,000 customers from Missouri to Georgia are without power today after another round of severe weather spawned at least 11 reported tornadoes.
That powerful storm system unleashing another round of destructive tornadoes. Twister touching down in Madison, Alabama. Trees down in Athens, snarling traffic for miles. In Jackson, Tennessee, debris scattered across the sky after a reported twister tore through. It's all a part of the same system that's already spawned 32 tornadoes across 9 states.
ABC's Morgan Norwood in Athens, Alabama. Investigators are now combing through videos posted by Guy Bartkus, the suspect in last week's car bombing of a Palm Springs fertility clinic. Authorities say Bartkus posted videos of home bomb tests on now-deleted social media accounts alongside writings saying humans should not reproduce. Police believe Bartkus was killed in that bombing. And bad news for Target, the box retailer reporting sales down 2.8%. Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
Good morning. This is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. Congratulations to those who have upcoming graduations. A special time for all those of all ages, from pre-K to a PhD. Stop by Pamela's for a great gift ideas for the perfect keepsake gift for your special graduate at Pamela's, where we will wrap your gift for free.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep-fried or baked fish. Fish is served from 4 to 8 p.m. Fridays only. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world, and after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best, open at 11 a.m. Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, this area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch, sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. You don't need 20% down to make your homeownership dream come true.
Dreary and cool with intermittent light rain and drizzle today, a high of 52. Northeast winds at 7 to 15. Cloudy with some leftover drizzle tonight, a low of 42. Thursday, clouds gradually mixing with some sunshine. Not as cool, a high of 62. Thursday night, a few clouds and crisp and a low of 37. Friday, partly sunny, a high of 62.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Your fuel partner for upcoming planting season, make sure your equipment is ready to roll with quality fuel and lubes from Meyer Oil and LP of Reedsburg. With flexible delivery options and competitive pricing, we provide diesel, gasoline, and bulk lubes, serving most of Richland, Sauk, and surrounding counties. Wishing farmers a safe and successful planting season, call Meyer Oil and LP today at 608-524-3914.
Did you know that a transmission flush and fill should be done every 50 to 60,000 miles to keep everything running correctly? Bindle Tire and Auto wants to help you keep your vehicle running as efficiently and economically as possible. Whether you need tires, brakes, oil changes, batteries, hoses, exhaust, transmission flush and fill, cabin filter, serpentine belt, alignment check, digital alignment, or on the farm call, trust Bindle Tire and Auto to be there for you. If you have questions about your vehicle or need an appointment, call Bindles today, 647-5851. Join American Legion Post number 350 for a special veterans show on Friday, May 31st at the Cal Center inside Reedsburg High School. The show starts at 1 p.m. Come early and enjoy a hot pork sandwich served up starting at 11 a.m. All to support our local veterans and post number 350. That's Friday, May 31st. Great food, powerful stories, and hometown pride. Support those who served. American Legion Post 350.
The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. Welcome to the Morning Show on WRCO Radio. We're here to talk about the upcoming Memorial Day, a Memorial Day parade in Richland Center, and the festivities that go along with that, and the recognition to go along with that today. Why we have a long weekend, and why we can take our boats and campers out because those who served. And we're here to talk a little bit with Marge Freeman and Marlon Clark from Bauer Gunnell Dalton VFW Post 2267 in Richland Center. Marge, the current commander. Marlon, the current senior vice commander. But I understand, Marlon, that might be changing. Is that true?
There is a rumor to that effect.
Were you elected, or are you chosen, or
nominated?
Nominated.
Nominated, right. And then approved.
Congratulations.
Thank
on
you.
That.
So. Appreciate it.
And he raised his right hand.
Okay. Shouldn't have done that to scratch his nose. No.
You know, it's hard to say no sometimes.
So, Marge, when will the gavel actually be passed then?
Well, that will be after the state convention. The state convention's in Middleton, Wisconsin, I want to say from June 11th through June 15th. And after the state convention, the first meeting in July, I'll probably be handing the gavel over in June at our local VFW meeting, and he officially takes over in July at our VFW local meeting. So then he will have that gavel, and he's in charge, and I just sit in the background.
Can you actually do that, though?
But I will. I do a battle handoff on anything like that and mentor. I'll turn over the gavel and the briefcase, and any time that Marlon's got any concerns or whatever, I will work very closely with him. I don't just, you know, give up and drive on.
How many years have you served as commander, Mark?
As commander, this time around, be 8 years straight, and then also 1994 and 1995, so it's a total of 9 years. And, you know, my picture's on the wall. It's the only female up there with dark-colored hair. And I don't plan on having another picture taken.
Okay, that'll be it. All right.
We can just put the years of service on there.
As I mentioned, you're handing it off to somebody younger now, aren't you? Oh, right?
Well, I know how old Marlon is, and the roster says that he's older than I am.
Well, wait a minute. Now, let's not go there.
But I won't say.
Are you excited about the opportunity, Marlon?
Yes, I am. It'll be an honor to serve in that capacity. And I'm looking forward to it. We got we'll make some changes. I'll give you an announcement later this morning, a special announcement. I was coerced by several veterans, and I'll talk about that later.
Okay. Well, we'll ask you a little bit about. Marge has got a puzzled look on her face.
I don't know. Did you run this by me yet?
No.
I mean, you know, it's up to the membership to vote on everything, so be careful there.
Wait a minute. Well, Memorial coming up, Memorial Day on Monday. And I know one of the first things you want to talk about is you want to encourage people to be a part of the parade, Marge.
Absolutely. I got a call yesterday, I think it was yesterday, from a young individual wanting to know if he could bring his tractor in. I said, absolutely. You can have your tractor in the parade as long as you maybe put some flags on it or a flag banner or something like that. Our patriotic parade for Memorial Day will line up at the old high school location, which is Third and Park, which is known as the hospital employee parking lot. That's the large parking lot over on Third and Park Street. Lineup starts around 9:15. All the way up to about 10 minutes to 10, the parade will start from there. We'll have the Richland Center High School band and probably another band there. The American Legion Auxiliary, their donkeys are supposed to be there to represent, and for their mascots, that's their mascots. There'll be other patriotic displays showing up. We need people to sign up and be in the parade, and it's only about a 7 to 8 block march from that location up to the cemetery. With that said, every year it seems like our parade's getting a little bit shorter, but it's in honor of those that have passed, who have served, and so forth. Our ceremony will take place at the Richland Center Cemetery starting anytime after 10:30 a.m. With WRCO, Bo Hendricks is the designated master of ceremonies. Our guest speaker is Greg Herbst, which is, I think I pronounced his name correctly. He is the Ithaca Schools principal superintendent, and he wholeheartedly a couple months ago said yes, he would be the guest speaker. And then also we have Ethan Gauld will do the Gettysburg Address, and then Mara Delagrave will do the taps after our recognition, after we honor our veterans with the three volleys, excuse me, of firing for the Honor Guard, the Military Honor Guard. But with that said, if the weather is good, we will be doing the parade and going up to the cemetery. And then afterwards, we will do the Women's Relief Corps water service down at Post 13, American Legion Post 13. And unfortunately, if the weather is not good, we will not have a parade, but everything will start at 10 a.m. at the Richland Center High School. Everything has been lined up, and everything should be ready for Memorial Day. So if the weather is good, we'll have a parade and go up to the cemetery. Oh, and the flyover will be approximately 11 a.m. The Buena Vista Flying Club, I contacted them and Arliss Green, and he knew for sure a few days ago that he had three that were going to be present, but there may be more. And every year we try to have a flyover. Last year it was really, really nice. So, weather permitting, you know, wind, rain, whatever.
So. You've gone in all kinds of weather, you know, and I think, Marge, over the years, you haven't had a lot of times where you've actually moved it indoors, have you?
No, I think since I've been commander the last 8 years, I can remember two times. And one day, one of the Memorial Days, it was that morning we had to make that decision, and luckily we had the high school all lined up and so forth. And I far as I can remember, we were just starting the program, and it started pouring outside, and it was good to have that backup for the Richland Center High School gym.
Speaking of the high school, I just impressive that you're involving a couple of Richland Center High School seniors, and then the band will be involved in the parade and the program as well.
Yes, and a lot of times we'll have two bands present. But anybody who wants to be in the parade, they don't have to pay anything. I do the permit. The permit's all done. They don't have to do anything other than call me or just show up. Just show up. It is a patriotic parade. No advertising for political or anything like that. It is patriotic parade.
I know that you wanted to talk a little bit about the POWMIA project.
Yes. The Defense Accounting Agency, which repatriates, they travel the world, and they identify remains of those that are missing in action. And so far this year, they have repatriated and located and named 114 individuals. And out of those individuals, I believe I have a note here. Yes, a total of 114 repatriated with being named and identified. There have been 79 from World War II, 32 that served Korean War, and 3 Vietnam. And last week, and then also the University of Wisconsin Missing in Action Project, which a lot of people are not aware of, also supports the Defense and Accounting Agency throughout the world. They also help to identify individuals, especially those that were residents of Wisconsin. Last week, we donated $500 to our VFW Post donated $500 to the UW project for the Missing in Action repatriation project. Now, repatriation means they bring the remains back to the United States, to their hometown, and 99% of the time, if the families want, they can have a military honor guard there, and that's what happens, and they are repatriated back reburied back to their location. Sometimes these individuals were already buried overseas in different locations, and then many times they find remains at a crash site or at sea. I read an article last night, I may have sent that to you, Marlon, as well, where there is a well in Indonesia where they are looking, a actual water well where they're looking for remains that were supposedly identified, and they're going to hopefully retrieve those remains and identify those individuals as well. It's quite a project.
Why don't you talk about, for just a minute, mm-hmm. about you went to one of the MIA recovery.
Right. You're talking about Edgerton?
Yes. Why don't you talk about that for a second?
Well, I want to say on March 28th of this year, I received a message from our past commander, Tim Perry, that and his wife is the manager of our local thrift shop. And they found a document. There was an individual that brought it in. And from what I kind of understand, she may have picked this this individual that brought the document in, got this document at a rummage sale, and she was turning it over to our local thrift shop. And of course, Trudy Perry and Tim Perry, had a discussion, obviously, about it, contacted me about this document. Well, this document identified an individual that was killed in action. He was from Edgerton, Wisconsin. His name was Sergeant Wallace Olson. He was not from this area, from all the research I did. Excuse me. He was killed in September of 1918, and the document identified the individual and what unit he served in, and it was signed by General Pershing. And that document, when I did the research, I found out that they had a memorial. I don't know if he's actually buried in Edgerton, Wisconsin, but they do have a memorial stone down there at the Jensen Cemetery. And I contacted the Veterans of Foreign Wars in Edgerton, Wisconsin. They did not know a lot about the individual. They did have a picture of him on the wall, but that's about the only information they knew about. So two of us traveled to Edgerton last evening and presented that document to the Edgerton Veterans of Foreign Wars, and they're going to be putting that document up on a wall of honor next to his name. And I thought it was a very interesting concept of how it came to be, getting turned over, an individual getting it at a rummage sale, turning it over to our thrift shop. Our thrift shop personnel, Trudy Perry, realized, you know, I mean, she watches for these items, anything that's military related, and then just the full circle of getting it turned into the Edgerton Veterans of Foreign Wars and to honor them. And the right thing to do was take it down there personally rather than mailing it to them. And, you know, the document may not mean a lot to us, but to his family or to that Veterans of Foreign Wars post, I think it means a lot to them.
It's amazing. A thrift it's shop find, Marlon, yes. that actually turned into something like that, isn't it?
It's amazing. But it was the right thing to do. And for the family, he may not have any family left in that area. And so there may not be closure for the family, but he's recognized by the post. And he's recognized by the VFW and the community. And so that's what we try to do.
That was turned over to post number 2708 in Edgerton, Wisconsin.
Just about every week we'll read about somebody being identified, you know, and we've had that recently, Marlon, in the state where they've actually had a service for that individual.
And those ceremonies are really moving. When you see police and fire officials out and the general public will turn out for these small communities for that repatriation of those remains, that is an amazing event. It gives me goosebumps.
And many times we'll fly the flags at half-mast in honor of that and things like that. But amazing that we're talking about somebody who's been missing 80 years, or in the event of World War One, it would be even longer than that.
Yes. And for the UW MIA project to be so involved in this, our hats are off to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing that you can find that information, you know, documents
that
exist. I think the government did a pretty good job of documenting a lot of the names, didn't they, through the years?
Marge, you went to one, didn't you?
Yes, there was two of them I attended. There was one over near Cuba City a couple years ago, and our 3rd District of Veterans, by the way, our VFW is in 3rd District. We have 15 posts in 3rd District, and our VFW riders led that funeral procession over to the cemetery. And there was another one in Middleton, Wisconsin. Even though the individual, that post was not out of 3rd District, I attended both of them. And it's like Marlon said, it's very moving. And many times there may be only one or two family members, and the family members a lot of times are nieces or nephews or grandchildren or great-grandchildren of the individual that they repatriate. A very, very moving ceremony, but very honorable. And you usually have your branch of service at the state or national level do the military honors, and it's a very solemn It's hard to explain the ceremony. It's solemn, it's beautiful, it's sad. There's all of those emotions, but yet supportive of the individual that paid the ultimate sacrifice and being returned to their homeland. And it's very moving. Now, out of the ones that they have repatriated or have identified this year so far, 114, I check those numbers every week. So far, nobody new from Wisconsin at this time. But any rate, they identify not only the individual, but where they live and their hometown and all of that once the families are notified.
Switching gears, Poppy Day is coming up, isn't it?
Buddy Poppy. Poppy Day for the American Legion is coming up. Theirs is called Poppy, and ours is Buddy Poppy, which is in September. Oh, and we always do it on the POW/MIA Remembrance Day, which I believe is the third Friday in September. So ours is Buddy Poppy, which is a patent name for the veterans of foreign wars. So that will be in September. But again, too, the American Legion is having Poppy Day coming up.
And that that will be this Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right into Memorial Weekend.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a different name, and their poppies are different than ours. So it's all good.
Mm-hmm. But both of them, you know, recognize and the money's is any money that's raised for those is goes to a worthwhile cause.
Our organizations are not for profit, so nobody gets paid. And with that said, all funds raised, whether it's Buddy Poppy Day or regular Poppy Day through the American Legion or any fundraising that the organizations do, nobody gets those funds. They all go for the good of the veteran or unmet needs for veterans and so forth. So all those funds are distributed properly.
And I know you have the collection for the Toma veterans every year as well, don't you?
Do you want to talk about that or not?
No, go ahead. You're on a roll.
Trying to get Marilyn to go here.
You're on a roll.
Well, yes. Gee, wow. Well, let me see here. December, we have the second Wednesday in December at the Richland County Bank. We do the fundraiser for our local veterans at our local homes, which is Schmidt Woodland Hills, Pine Valley, Harvest Guests, and our house. We go out and purchase items that they request out of those that fundraiser. And then any items left that our veterans do not need, whether or not we get monetary funds or donations, which are all have to be new, clothing or other items, then they go to Toma. So that is always the second Wednesday in December. That's upcoming event. And Marlon will probably have a radio program on that. But with that said, and the reason why it's the second Wednesday in December is because the following week, everything is distributed to our local veterans at the four local homes, in addition to the Toma VA before Christmas. Now, all the items, if people donate items, they have to be brand new. They cannot be used like they were in the past before COVID. And, of course, we do take monetary donations, and we always go out and purchase what's needed for our local veterans, and then anything else gets turned over to the Toma VA along with monetary funds. And it's normally $1,500 up to $2,000 that gets donated up to the Toma VA along with all the in-kind items.
Recently, we had we played back some of the speeches from Patriots Pen and Voice of Democracy.
Yeah.
Pretty good turnout this year, wasn't it?
Real good. And Marlon wants to talk about that one. Because I mean, I have the information, but the bottom line is he mentioned it earlier, so he can go for it.
All right, Marlon.
No, you're on a roll. What we wanted to do, though, I just asked Marge that we need to recognize these students.
Right.
Because they put the time and they put the effort into it, and they presented our post, they presented district, they presented state, and then luckily we had one young man a couple years ago that went on to national and won at national. And so we want to recognize those students and their families and also the teachers that support them. So
they make a good effort, that's for sure.
Yes.
And it's nice that teachers encourage that and get that done on the deadline and everything like that too.
Now the theme this year, and Marge said this is the first time that she can remember it, that the theme for both Patriots Pen and the Voice of Democracy is going to be the same theme. And the theme is, how are you showing patriotism and support for our country? That's the theme. Now, Patriots Pen, that's for grades 6 through 8. Voice of Democracy, that's for grades 9 through 12. And there's information on the VFW website where they can go out and look up that information. But we just encourage any student that thinks they would like to present a speech or be involved
It's been a great project, not only for the public school kids, but you've had some homeschool kids get involved in it as well.
Sam Edel, I'll mention his name. He went on to state this year. He was homeschooled for many, many years. He had first started entering in Patriots Penn a few years ago before he got into high school. And he also went on to National, I believe it was 2 years ago, and he was one of the original homeschool students. So it's not only in a Christian school or a public school, but also homeschool. And with the theme this year, as Marlon had mentioned, and it is due to our local posts on October 31st. Every year it's October 31st to our local posts. The Patriots Pen is a written essay. All the guidelines are on VFW.org on the amount of words they can have in the essay, how long it can be, and so forth, spelling. And they must have the essay name at the beginning. That is part of the requirement. Now, for the Voice of Democracy, it's not only the written essay, but also the audio essay. And again, the audio essay has to be the same as their written essay. But all the information is on VFW.org with the requirements and so forth. And our teachers at Kickapoo School, our Christian school, Ithaca has addressed it in the past, St. Mary's. We need more schools involved because the competition, when they become first, if they are a first, second, and third place winner, it's not only the certificate recognition, but we have money to give away.
Yeah.
So we don't really advertise the money, but you know, the funds are available, and they, you know, it's well worth their effort.
Can teachers be honored as well?
Yes, they will. They can. And I can mention it. Teacher of the Year Awards. We are still waiting. I have never received a Teacher of the Year recommendation or award, meaning that we have not had a teacher get nominated. And a teacher can nominate somebody else, or I could, you know, somebody could nominate a teacher at a local school. They do not have to be involved in Patriots Pen or Voice of Democracy. It's whatever they're involved in their schools. The same for Scout of the Year. We're looking for scouts to enter, and all of that information is on VFW.org. I keep waiting every year. I need a scout. I need a Teacher of the Year so we can, you know, recognize them. And it is a great recognition, and it's just hard to come by. I think people are too shy to do this.
But if somebody's listening and there's a teacher that maybe somebody especially that encouraged their kids to enter Voice of Democracy or Patriots Pen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. Yeah.
Marge and I were just talking about this out in the hallway that we this is not even at a post level. This also goes up to district level. So they recognize Teacher of the Year. And
all the way to state and national.
Yes. Yeah. So we really want to try to push that this year. And put an emphasis on it because we know that there's some outstanding teachers in our communities.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. But we got to get them recognized.
Yeah, good point.
So that's going to be our challenge.
It's a little bit more user-friendly than it used to be because I remember back in the day, they would have to make an appointment here at the radio station to record. Now, I believe they can record at their own leisure.
Yes, and a lot of, like for Kickapoo School, for the Voice of Democracy, a lot of the students enter that. They do their recording there. And if they do their recording, there can't be any background noise or anything like that. For the Voice of Democracy, they can do their recording usually at the school. And if they don't have that opportunity, I guess I would encourage them to search out other opportunities to do their recordings for the Voice of Democracy. Patriots Pen, they do not have to do a recording. It's just a written essay. And just follow all the guidelines, the requirements on the entries and so forth.
VFW Post 2267, our guests on the morning show today. We'll have more in a moment.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends a Pay It Forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Now is the time to make sure your vehicle is tuned up for summer. Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. We'll check your coolant, do a radiator flush, or give you that tune-up you need. Or maybe it's a new set of tires or an alignment. We can do that too. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call us now at 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street, downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
Better is about feeling all kinds of things. You want to feel healthy, sure, but you also want to feel heard and understood, valued, even, well, loved. That's what we want too. We're Amplify Health, and we think the best way to care for someone is to care about them. That's why all our treatments include a little empathy. Welcome to healthcare that's all about caring. Welcome to Amplify Health by Gunderson. A little empathy changes everything.
Open Season Hunting Outlet LLC Richland Center has what you want to enjoy hunting and target practicing in the great outdoors. From 17 caliber varmint guns to shotguns, deer rifles, trail cameras, and archery, Open Season Hunting Outlet, open from 11 to 5 Monday through Friday and Saturday 8:30 until 2 at 182 North Main Street, Richland Center, or call 649-0030. Competitive prices on guns, ammo, and other outdoor needs. Stop at Open Season Hunting Outlet or visit openseasonoutlet.com.
Right now at U.S. Cellular, you can get our best deal ever and pay $15 per line when you get four lines. That's the same as the overpriced latte I just ordered.
Whoa, ma'am, what do you have against lattes?
Oh, just saying, $15 per line for four lines is a pretty hard deal to beat.
Okay, but is your deal made with co-op-raised beans and house-made non-GMO oat milk?
No, but $15 per line for four lines at U.S. Cellular is pretty sweet savings.
Not sweeter than this matcha cold foam.
Yeah, that's not what I ordered. U.S. Cellular, built for us. Terms apply. See uscellular.com for details.
Are you looking for a rewarding part-time job? Cobasin is currently hiring for part-time trip drivers for school sports and field trips, and to drive a shuttle to Spring Green 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. weeknights. Starting trip pay is $17. You get paid for the entire time you are gone, even the wait time. For questions, call Bev Lau at 647-4446 or stop by the Richland Center Cobasin Terminal off Highway 14 beside TC Auto Works.
The Wisconsin Supper Club tradition has found new life at Kickapoo Creekside. From mouthwatering steaks and fresh seafood to a large salad bar and perfectly crafted old fashions, Kickapoo Creekside offers a truly exceptional dining experience. Choose from the menu or indulge in the chef's daily special. Dine inside or enjoy your meal outside in the fresh air. Visit Kickapoo Creekside at 827 West Kickapoo Street in Reedstown. Open Wednesdays through Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays starting at 11. Come and taste the tradition.
One of your biggest investments, season after season, is high-quality feed. But are you getting the most from it? If you aren't using a silage inoculant to preserve the quality and nutritional value of your high-quality silage, the answer is no. When you pair your high-quality silage with science-based, research-proven Silosol brand products from Novonesis, not only are you supporting improved herd health and performance, but you know you're getting the maximum return on your feed investment. Talk to your local dealer about what sets Silosol inoculants apart. Purchase your silage inoculant today.
High School in the USA Cultural Exchange Program makes lifelong connections by embracing new cultures. It's a chance to share your story, traditions, and customs with others while discovering a new culture, writing your own home. We match students with host families to feel less like a guest and more like a member of the family. If you're interested in embarking on a new adventure as a host family, visit highschoolintheusa.com or shoot an email to info@highschoolintheusa.com.
We're talking to members of Bauer Gunnell Dalton VFW Post 2267. Marge Freeman, Marlon Clark are here. Marlon, the current senior vice commander, and will be promoted a little bit later on this summer, officially, as the gavel passes. Let's ask you a little history, Marlon, if we could. How did Bauer Gunnell Dalton Post's 2267 begin?
Yeah, thank you, Phil. Bauer Gunnell Post 2267 was first authorized to organize the charter back on December 19th of 1931. There were 15 veterans that participated in that initial charter. Mr. Bauer, William A. Bauer, served in the Spanish-American War in 1898. And of course, everyone knows that was the war between the United States and Spain, mainly fought over Cuba and the Philippines. And it lasted from April to August of 1898. And he was born here in the county in 1879, and he died in the Philippines in 1900 at the age of 21. And William Bauer is buried at the Lone Rock Cemetery in Buena Vista Township. So he's one of our founding members. Our second founding member was Carl Thomas Gunnell. He was born April 30th, 1892. He served in World War I as a corporal. He was a machine gun battery in the American Expeditionary Forces. That's what they were called at that time. He was killed in France in July of 1918 at the age of 26. And he's buried. His remains are in the Richland Center Cemetery. So we have William A. Bauer and Carl Thomas Gunnell. Then, later, in April of 1945, the post was reorganized to an actually had a reorganized and had a second charter and added Staff Sergeant Malcolm Clay Dalton. He was killed in action August 1st, 1943, in a town in Romania. He was born in Richland County here, and he's buried at the Fort McPherson National Cemetery, and that's in Lincoln County, Nebraska. And that's, I've been past that cemetery, and it's way out in the far western part of Nebraska. Beautiful flat area. But again, he was killed in World War One or World War Two, excuse me. So his name was added to our charter. So now it's Bauer Gunnell Dalton, post 2267.
Pretty special people. Any idea why they were chosen? Because I'm sure there were a lot of people at the time that they could have named the post for, right?
Well, I don't know the exact history, and this is only kind of guessing that the membership, well, obviously the membership would have put in for their names, mm-hmm, for Bauer Gunnell when they organized back in 1931 for the post name. So to recognize them, and the post membership would have voted on it. Yep. And then that request would go to the district, on to state, they would get approved, and then on to national to get recognized. And the same for the second reorganization or the second charter request also. So that isn't something that would be nominated by anybody above, other than starting out at the membership level at that time, Bauer Gunnell Dalton. And again, it's recognizing those that were served and killed in action. And they would not have, I'm guessing they would not have their names on there unless they were killed in action, more than likely. Now, if that happens in the future, it would be, again, up to the membership if they wanted to add another name to the charter, and then the charter would have to be redone a third time. I don't foresee that happening, but, you know, I'm not here forever, and wars will always happen. So We don't know what's going to happen in the future, but again, Bauer, Gunnell, Dalton to recognize the three that were killed in action.
You can always use more members, Marge.
Absolutely, we can use more members. We have 104. We have enough to show up for our meetings, a quorum. We average usually between 12 and sometimes 20 or 22 that show up for our meetings. We are at 98.01%. I've got two individuals that need to pay their dues before our state convention. I need their dues paid by or before June 10th. And the individuals have been contacted, so hopefully they get them turned over to show 100%. And membership is always an issue, no matter what organization you're in. You could be in Lions, you could be in the VFW, the American Legion, the 48. Membership is important because membership is not about paying your dues. It's about keeping you informed about what's going on in the organization all the way up to the national level. And also fighting for the individuals, whether it's, like I said, whether it's a veterans organization or any organization, it's making changes and supporting those individuals. And it's not just about paying your dues. There's a lot of things that happen. And we participate in a lot of items, and it's very important to get members to be in organizations and support them.
And maybe some younger members, and I know that...
And it's harder to get those younger members.
Well, right.
Those younger members have families, mm-hmm. and they're involved in school activities or church activities or band or, 4-H or whatever. And sometimes we have time commitments, and it's hard to get those younger members, but we still need them. And I don't know if I said this before, but when... Bauer Gunnell Post was first formed, there were 15 members in that organization. And like Marge said, they would have probably sat down and voted on who they wanted to have as their namesake. And if these were living veterans, which they would have been, they would have probably then picked the people who had died in conflict. Mm-hmm. And so that would probably have been a very easy choice.
Another organization that is kind of an offshoot is the writers. You've got a writers yes. group that's connected with VFW March. That?
Well, I thought maybe you would, but our VFW writers group, one of our members, in fact, when we mention membership, membership is, you don't necessarily have to show up at the meetings. Just become a member, no matter what organization you're going to join. Now, I'm looking at VFW Post 2267. Mm-hmm. If you can't be at the meetings, that's okay. Become a member, because member strength is important. But VFW Writers Group, one of our members, started up, I want to say, around 2018, and did a wonderful job organizing, and also was the president of the VFW Writers Group for the district, Dominic Anderson. I'm going to throw his name out there, even though you don't want me to say that. But yes, he started the VFW Writers Group and went all the way up to president of the at district level. He's going to turn over those reins. In fact, he just turned over the reins here at our last meeting. VFW Writers Group, you can have a motorcycle. You could probably have a moped. You could also have a custom car. We've got one or two members that also have custom cars. They don't ride motorcycle, but they can become a member of the VFW Writers Group. And we do, the individuals, they do go to different locations and raise funds, or they go out and ride just for fun.
They are members of parades from time to time.
Absolutely. And there'll probably be a couple of them in our parade on Memorial Day as well. And they'll also be, I'm sure, in the July 4th parade at Lone Rock.
Yes.
So it's good to get that recognition.
The years go by pretty fast. I know we'll be talking about some other events coming up. Marlon, down the road here, I know you have the Wreaths for Across America campaign and things like that are going on. You're preparing for those. Probably you should take over the new post.
We'll have that. That is one of the things, yes. Wreaths Across America in Saturday, I think it's usually the second Saturday in December. Mm-hmm. We've always gone to Keysville. But yes, again, it's to honor those veterans. And this is our ninth year?
It'll be our ninth year in December. And I believe, I want to say there's 46 veterans that are buried at Keysville. And that is coordinated with Al Linz, who helps work on the reefs across America and make sure the reefs are there. And we do the ceremony, and then also we do the military honor guard as well and play taps for those individuals.
And then also, I know there was an effort the last couple of years to honor veterans, like with unmarked graves and things like that. Is that still a campaign that's going on?
We don't necessarily do that here. That's done more at the Arlington National Cemetery. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily that we can't or won't do it. We just haven't done that, at least in, from what I remember. Now, it may have been done many years ago by our VFW post. Our VFW post was the originators of our military honor guard. And we, over the years, over due to attrition and so forth, we had to allow other military members. By the way, the military honor guard, you have to be in one of the organizations, whether it's a VFW, American Legion, or 48, or Chapter 7 Vietnam Veterans. You have to be a military, somebody that served in the military with an honorable discharge. And with that said, we now have American Legion members in our Honor Guard, 48 members, Chapter 7 Vietnam mm-hmm. veterans, and so forth. And a lot of people are in 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 organizations.
You are, aren't you?
I am. I'm quadruple. I think it's called quadruple, but I'm not sure. VFW, the Legion, the 48, Chapter 7, and Women's Relief Corps, and did I say 48? Yeah, there's five of them anyway.
Well, thanks for all you do. The parade coming up on Monday, we hope a lot of people will come out for the parade that day, and the reason why we have an extra day this weekend. Proper parade etiquette, and that's another thing that we haven't talked about for a while, Marge.
Parade etiquette, if you want to be help with lead of the colors, if you had served and you're a military veteran or still serving, be a part of the leading with the colors. If you have anything patriotic you can wear, whether it's an organization cap or a shirt or whatever, would be good. A lot of times Dan Foley will march us up to the cemetery. I'm hoping he's available again this year because everybody can really march really correctly when Dan is leading us in marching and making sure we're on the proper left and right foot. But he does a wonderful, wonderful job, and his voice carries through with everybody. I guess that's the biggest, is just be there for the colors and leading up there and wear something that maybe reflects military. If you can fit in your military uniform, wear that. That would be wonderful. And we also will have the troop carrier available for those who cannot march. I talked to Larry Sobranek, and he said the troop carrier will be there for those that cannot march.
Okay, that's good to know. Again, it steps off at 10 Monday morning at Park and 3rd, yep. Proceeds down Church Street to Richland Center Cemetery, a route of about 7 blocks.
Yep.
Marlon, did you have a major announcement you were going to make before we close the morning show here today?
Well, I was coerced, or maybe threatened might have been a better word, as the new incoming commander, that I had to do something here. So I have talked to Amy at the Phoenix Bowling Center, and our July meeting, which is the second Tuesday of the month, will be at the bowling alley.
No, it's not. July 20th is down at the White House.
No. Mm-hmm. This is our BFW Post 2267 regular meeting. Will be held at the Phoenix Center.
Oh.
This is info that Marge doesn't know.
Okay, no.
Okay.
And your new commander will be buying pizza and beer, soda or coffee. We will meet at 6:30 for the pizza and the beer, and our regular meeting will start at 7. And I just challenge any VFW member that would like to have pizza and beer to stop down. It's on me.
Yes, because our VFW can't pay for that. Remember, there's no monies. No, it's all on you there, upcoming commander.
Well, we hope a lot of people will take you up on that.
He almost gave me a heart attack because I thought he was talking about something else.
But along that same line, we are going to sponsor our local post, 2267, is going to sponsor on July 20th, Sunday, the 3rd District meeting here. And again, like Mark said, there's 15 posts in the 3rd District, and they will be coming here to
the White House.
The White House. Yeah. That meeting will start at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it usually lasts about an hour and a half, 2 hours. But we're hoping for a good turnout also from the other posts in our district.
That's a big deal, representing Richland Center and people coming here. So.
It is. We've had it. We've had our 3rd District meeting here twice now, and we always have a good show, good turnout. So, but at the Phoenix Center for our VFW meeting in July, do you have the day available for that?
Yes.
What day is it? July what? It's the second Tuesday.
Second Tuesday.
That. Put it in the book.
Second Tuesday.
So our VFW meetings are always the second Tuesday of the month.
Second Tuesday, July 8th.
All right.
Okay, so that's a change. We will not be at the American Legion.
We will not be at the American Lincoln Building on that day. Because I was threatened.
Not by me.
Coerced, or not whatever you want to say.
We'll let you guys continue this conversation. The morning show from WRCO. Marge Freeman and Marlon Clark from Post 2267. It's been a pleasure having you guys in the studio today.
Thank you so much, Will.
You bet.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com. and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities and a volunteer application. Join us in making a difference, one life, one step at a time.
Stay on track with a new garage door from Garage Door Express in Lone Rock. They have the latest design and color options for commercial or residential doors, and a custom door is no problem. Maybe you already have doors that need attention. The service technicians at Garage Door Express have the knowledge and courteous desire to make sure your garage doors work properly. For a free estimate on new garage doors or service repair, call Garage Door Express at 604-4581.
Ricky Grunberg, manager of the Richland Area Farmers Market, is on the line with us. Ricky, do you anticipate a big day today at the Farmers Market?
Yes, I do. It's been really great. This will be our third Wednesday. And already within 2 weeks, I mean, more people are coming, and then that's pretty wonderful. Yes, I do anticipate a larger market and a good one.
Tell me about the new location, and is that working out for you well?
Well, the new location is where we were 3 years ago, and in the corner of Orange and Court, and it's working out very well. We've had wonderful feedback. It's great. What we did differently this year, though, is the last time we were there was kind of a free-for-all on the grass. Now we're set up along the sidewalk because we learned that it's much better for mobility, people with any kind of mobility issues, people with strollers, walkers, canes. Any kind of ability, you know, issues that they have, and it really has proved very good. I think it's been really a good move.
Do you have a lot of vendors back that have been there for a few years?
Yes, absolutely. We've got, it's an interesting question. We have a couple of new vendors, which is really always exciting. And then we have about six or so vendors who have, are repeat vendors, and we still have more to come. Some don't have anything until a little bit later in the season.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we'll see there today as we get a little later in the season. I think probably more things are added every week, aren't they?
More things are added every week, absolutely. So this week will be similar. You know, today will be similar to last week in the sense that, okay, we'll have baked goods, lots and lots and lots of baked goods, wonderful baked goods. And but really, some new vegetables like asparagus and rhubarb and salad greens, which is really exciting. And we had spinach, and we'll have microgreens is something new this year, which is very exciting, and mushrooms. And then your basic, the usual stuff like honey, maple syrup, canned goods, jams and jellies, and bedding plants, too, are always in the month of May. And the beginning of June, we tend to, especially May, we tend to have bedding plants and regular plants and flowers as well, and eggs and meat and the regular stuff.
Yeah, everybody loves flowers, and this is a good weekend to be getting them, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, flowers are such a big seller. It's really amazing to see that happen. So many people buy flowers. So, yeah, it's a big week for it.
I know you're pretty strict about the start time, so no one gets a jump on anything. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for many people are great about it, and some people just want to shop when they get there, even if it's at 12, you know. And the thing is that we have vendors setting up. We like every vendor to be set up ready together. So even if a vendor's there at 12:30 and ready to sell, we say just wait till we're all here. And it does seem to work better that way. That way, if, let's say, strawberries are in season, some people want to come early and buy them all, and then what happens to the people who come on time at 1:30? So that's when we came up years ago. We came up with the idea, let's just have a starting time, just like any store, at 1:30. This is when we start, and that's the way we do it. And it really does work well, but there always are, you know, there's always going to be people who are disgruntled about something, but it has worked out well so far.
Are the tote bags back this year?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks to a Compere financial grant.